Hidey-ho, everyone. Welcome to another fabulous episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. I'm your host, Amelia Dalton from eejournal.com, and this week I'm coming to you from hot and humid Singapore. It's true, EE Journal has me flying all over the world, and this time it's Asia. Why am I in Singapore, I hear you ask? Well, I'm here to visit with GlobalFoundries. For a lot of us, GlobalFoundries is a new name in the semiconductor fabrication business. We have all known the usual suspects for years, right? If you ask a random engineer who makes chips, you'll hear the same answers we've known all along. Intel, TSMC, Samsung. But who are these GlobalFoundries guys? You might be surprised to know that GlobalFoundries is the world's second largest independent semiconductor manufacturer. Hey, weren't you supposed to make that record scratch sound here? Like, never mind. Wait, what? Yeah, how did they sneak in here and become the second largest in the world when we weren't watching? And a lot of us haven't even heard of them. Well, it turns out that GlobalFoundries used to go by some other names, like AMD and Chartered. Ah, it's coming into focus now, isn't it? You see, back in 2009, AMD's manufacturing arm got spun off into a separate company called GlobalFoundries. Then in 2010, GlobalFoundries acquired Chartered Semiconductor. The part of the company that used to be Chartered, that's the part I'm visiting here in Singapore. GlobalFoundries has fabs doing just about everything possible in semiconductors, from big old 180 nanometer down to cutting edge 14 nanometer FinFET, both 200 and 300 millimeter wafers, and with fabs located in Singapore, Germany, and the United States. Which may explain that whole global thing in their name, but anyway, GlobalFoundries makes RF, high-power, analog, non-volatile, plain old CMOS, and just about every other specialized process you can name, with huge volume production capabilities. If you're about to start a new chip design, you should check them out. And I did, and now I'm in Singapore. Poof. What's the newest in EE news this week? Well, trending on eejournal.com, it looks like there was a Lego spill that closed a highway in West Virginia. And darn near overloaded our servers as well. Yep, EE Journal covers the hardest hitting news in all of EE. Thank you very much. But really, this was our biggest page view story this week. I guess engineers just really like their Legos. Can you imagine what it was like to run into those Legos? Shoot, stepping on one of those bad boys with bare feet is bad enough. Just imagine what 1,000 of those suckers would do to your tires. Eek! And of course, check out the link on this week's Fish Fry page to see more about this Lego logjam. And looky here, while I'm in Singapore, there's an exhibit at the Singapore Science Art Museum called The Art of the Brick. I think every engineer at some point in their life loved themselves some Legos. I know I did. But maybe if you're an engineer in West Virginia, you might not like them so much now. Anyway, this exhibit was super cool. The work of New York-based artist Nathan Sawaya. Nathan has reproduced an amazing display of Lego-constructed art pieces. This exhibit showcased 52 different Lego sculptures. Definitely a far cry from my Millennium Falcon debacle from the fifth grade, but never mind about that. The most impressive was definitely the 6-meter-long T-Rex dinosaur skeleton. Seriously cool. So what other geeky hotspots are to be found in the wonderful island nation of Singapore? Well, one includes the Funan Digital Life Mall. Oh yes, think a mall where every store, or most of them at least, are Best Buy. With store names like Gaming World, Headphone Gallery, and Memory World, who could go wrong? I mean, really. And in Singapore, the concept of digital life apparently also includes eating Kentucky Fried Chicken. Huh. If you want to take an interactive tour of the Funan Digital Life Mall, check out the link on this week's Fish Fry page. And it's much cheaper than airfare. Trust me. Folks, let's talk about the pain of prototyping. Every embedded engineer goes through it at some point or another. How do you verify that your embedded system is indeed working the way it should, or heck, even working at all? Well, there is a new approach that you should consider. It's called functional prototype verification, and I've got a brand new Chalk Talk about this very thing. Yep, in the hardware prototype arrives, find design errors fast and improve design quality, Kazio's Bob Potok and I chat about how you can prevent the pain of prototyping with a structured approach to prototyping verification based on Kazio's VTOS, that's Verification and Test OS. It's pretty darn cool, and you could go there right now by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page. I'm just saying. Continuing education. For any engineer, it's essential, right? If you're not moving forward on keeping up with the latest technology, you're falling behind. Your skills can become obsolete in no time. Well, this week's interview is about the same thing. My guests today are Wendy Lockhart, Director, Ecosystem Product Marketing at Microsemi, and Tom Tranter, Senior Field Applications Engineer at Avnet Electronics Marketing. And we're going to talk about the Microsemi Avnet Speedway workshops, why you should attend, what you could learn, and where you need to go to brush up on your Smart Fusion 2 design skills. Thank you both for joining me today.
Thank you, Amelia.
Glad to be here.
So, Wendy, tell me who should attend the Speedway Design Workshops and what they should expect to learn.
Well, basically anyone with FPGA processor or DSP-based applications who may need low-power security or reliability in their designs. The Speedway Workshops are designed to give an overview of the architecture of Smart Fusion 2 and its capabilities, as well as hands-on experience with the design tools with experts on hand for assistance, and it can really help to accelerate a customer's first design with Smart Fusion 2.
This seems like a great example of how distributors and suppliers can work together to bring value to designers. Have you guys collaborated on these types of events before?
Yes, we have. Actel/Microsemi SoC and Avnet have done these speedways. This is now the fourth one. We originally started this process back when the Fusion product line first came out, and then after that we did one for the Igloo product, the low-power product. About 2 years ago we did one on the Smart Fusion, and now we're doing the Smart Fusion 2.
Let me just add to what Tom had commented on there. Avnet Mimic is a very important partner for Microsemi, and we see great benefits to this type of event, working with our customers and working directly with the Avnet SAEs in the field to help train our customers and really get better engagement across the board in the whole of North America.
Great. So, Tom, are there any prerequisites for the workshops?
Really, no, there are no prerequisites. I would suggest that most people, or a good idea, those who are attending should have some basic knowledge of FPGAs and FPGA tool flow. Not required, but would probably be a good idea.
So, Tom, tell my audience more about the hands-on aspect of these workshops.
Well, what we do is three labs. To understand what the labs are, the Smart Fusion 2 is really broke up in two major sections, what we call an MSS, which is a microprocessor subsystem, and an FPGA fabric. So our first lab, we use just the fabric to get everybody familiar with the tool flow. So it's about an hour-long lab, hour and a couple minutes, and we just do a basic FPGA design to get the tool flow down. The second lab is a MSS lab, which uses the Cortex M3 processor, and the purpose of that lab is to get the audience to understand, okay, this is how you incorporate a processor into this FPGA flow, and take that lab all the way to the point where you're debugging C code. We do not require the students to write any VHDL code or any C code. That's all provided for them. It's really not a course in language. And then the last lab is really a USB demo design. So when they can go home, they can use this demo design and actually hook up a USB stick to their FEMA board and actually use it as a storage element.
Very cool. So when and where do these workshops take place, and what does the tuition look like?
Workshops started on about February 19th, and they go through about May 2nd. They're all in North America in 26 different classes in 26 different cities around the country and Canada. Tuition is $99, which gets you, obviously, the day of lecture and breakfast and a lunch, but it gets you a starter kit as well for that $99. And that starter kit normally is $299, I believe.
Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Tom and Wendy. It was a pleasure speaking to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Amelia.
All right, it's time for a little nerdy giveaway, my friends. Oh, yes. This week, I've got a brand new kit, an ST Discovery Board, courtesy of our good friends at Element 14. The Discovery Kit, which of course everyone fondly knows as the STM32F4 Discovery, for short, helps you discover the high-performance features of this exciting processor and to develop your applications easily. It includes everything required for beginners and experienced users to get started quickly. It includes an ST-Link V2 embedded debug tool, two ST-MEMS, digital accelerometers, and digital microphones, one audio DAC with an integrated Class D speaker driver, LEDs, because thank goodness I'd never want to give away a kit without some blinky lights, and push buttons, and a USB on-the-go micro AB connector. A large number of free, ready-to-run application firmware examples are available on st.com/stm32f4-discovery to support quick evaluation and development. The STMicro32F407 processor family is based on the high-performance ARM Cortex-M4 32-bit RISC core, operating at a frequency of 168 MHz. The Cortex-M4 core features a single precision floating point unit, which supports all ARM single precision data processing instructions and data types. It also implements a full set of DSP instructions and a memory protection unit, or MPU, which enhances application security. So, folks, this week, listen up. This is super important, and there will be a quiz. Instead of emailing me or posting a comment on this week's page, we have a different way for you to win this super awesome kit. Head on over to element14.com/fishfry, and you can enter to win there. I've put a link below the player on this week's eejournal.com fishfry page, so go there now. If you want to. I mean, they're waiting, and they have your kit and all. And if you didn't know already, you should really check out EE Journal on Facebook at Facebook/EEJournal and on Twitter at EEJournalTFM. Well, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. If you want to know any further information about the stories covered in today's show, including that super cool Lego show I spoke of earlier, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's page. Thank you everyone for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or the best geeky hotspot in your hometown, shoot me a line at amelia@techfocusmedia.com or post a comment on our forums on eejournal.com. For the week of March 8th, 2013, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.